You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello again. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin, episode 49. Recorded on this day, May 29th, 2019. Hello, everybody. Hope you're having an okay week. I know a lot of people had a shitty week last week, and I hope this one is slightly better. That remains to be seen. We are into summer vacation. So in Austin, what that means is that the college kids are gone, a lot of them, or are leaving this week. But that also means that the actual kids are out of school and are running around. And so positives and negatives. Know if you're into kids being visible and in your way. And if you are into that, congratulations, because they're out there and visible. And like, shouldn't you be in? Oh, right. All right, well, I can make it through these 3 months with no real sport going on other than baseball, and I don't watch baseball. So we'll see how I survive summer. Hopefully distracting myself. I hope if you're sober, I hope you're staying sober. If you're a normal person, I hope you're staying sane, as I like to say every week that I can remember to say it. I had an interesting Sunday. It was at work. My Sunday, it was, what do I describe it? It's, I had a really heavy I told you so Sunday. And I'm not going to go into details because a lot of it has to do with just work bullshit and just things that happen. And it's not that I'm not going into it because I don't want to reveal information, you know, and talk shit about people publicly. But it's more that it's boring. It's the details are so, like, to get into it, like, requires backstory and then go into, let me describe people in depth from my perspective. And I don't think I want to get into that with that much time. I don't think I want to devote that much time to something that you really not, don't give a shit about. And I wouldn't want you to go, let me tell you about Betty. And then we'll go into Deborah and how office politics reached an all new low this week. Like I would probably stop you and go, that's cool. Can you sum up, you know, skip to the end? But there was one incident that we have. And I can bring this up because neither one of these guys would listen to this shit. But I had told somebody who worked in the front of the restaurant, like we were really busy, and I'm like, could you send this one busser back to help me because I'm just slammed in the back? And she goes, okay. So she went up and sent the other busser back to help me. And I didn't want that busser because that busser is either A, an idiot, or B, lazy. I'm kind of leaning towards B because I don't think anybody's as dumb as this guy portrays himself to be. I don't think he's an idiot. I think he just doesn't give a shit. And understandably so. It's busing. You don't have an investment in the company. I totally get not giving a shit. However, if you don't give a shit and it makes me work more, I don't like it. So I tend to be very critical about somebody who's lazy when it causes me more work. I'm selfish like that. That's just the way it is. Anyway, she sends the wrong busser back. So I go back out there and talk to her and she was working in the front, and kind of a manager, but not really. Anyway, I went, no, I didn't ask for that one. I asked for the other busser. And it's like, she's like, well, I can't find him, so I sent you some help. And I'm like, no, 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 no. That guy helping me that you sent back there is actually worse than no help at all. He gets in the way and does things wrong. I'm like, so in the future, just send the one, not the other one. And I go back, and one minute after I told her that, this guy who's trying to help, he's not trying, who's pretending to help, grabs a bunch of plates that I just washed to run back out. He walks out of the dish room and drops the entire stack of plates. And they broke. They all broke. The entire restaurant stopped and stared, made a huge mess that he cleaned up, not me, obviously. And the front manager type person kind of looked back to see what happened, and then she looks and sees me peering through the doorway, and I just gave her a look like, see, this is not really how I wanted to prove my point, but since it happened, see. So this was one of like four different things that happened where I've been, you know, that I had mentioned. Another one had to do with these two maintenance guys, contractors that came in and were supposed to fix the AC, and they did not. And I had just told management, I went, I don't like these guys. I think they're Nimrods. And then on Sunday when it was hot, I told someone in management, I went, look, I get it. I know I'm the boy who cried Nimrod. I get that I'm one of those guys. I know that I sound like asshole Chicken Little. But you have to discern the difference between me just bitching to try to be funny and sarcastic and dry, and then me actually going, hey, red flag here. These people suck. And so it was one of those things. But I had here's a negative problem. It's just a big problem with me being right multiple times in a day. I already have a problem with my ego. I do not need it reinforced. I try to balance having an ego with the understanding that I don't know anything. And I've been really good about this, especially in my comedy. In the stand-up comedy world, in our scene here in Austin, when I'm talking to people and when I'm listening, and they have an idea that I absolutely despise, because I have realized that outside of my joke writing and my comedy, which I've worked on and I'm very proud of, outside of that, I don't know a goddamn thing. It's a new world. You know, it's interesting to go, yes, after 23 years of doing comedy, I can safely say that I have no fucking idea what makes a successful show. Like, I don't really, when it comes to a new show at a bar or a club that has an interesting twist, I'm like going, ugh, a twist. A show idea. That's not just stand-up. I'm like, ugh, that sounds terrible. And it does well, proving I don't know anything. And it's a really good balance to not know what the fuck's going on and being aware of it. It helps balance out the ego. So when I do say something and you prove me right over and over again, it throws off the balance that I'm trying to keep. So if everybody could please prove me wrong and keep me being wrong at least half the time, it's going to be better for my mental health and my huge goddamn ego and self-centeredness that we all deal with, your own self-interest and being self-centeredness. But so yeah, if we could all just continue to make me wrong at least half the time, that would be great. because when I say I told you so more than once in a day, it's just, it throws off the balance. It's not good. It's not good. So this is on you. So yeah, it was a day. All right. I don't normally make podcast recommendations because, and also this particular podcast does not need any recommendations. You should probably already know about it. It's one of the most popular comedy podcasts out there. But if you are not watching, if you're not listening to the Conan's podcast, I highly recommend it because his, you know, Conan needs a friend or whatever, that it's, but it's basically just an excuse to interview people. And it's way, if you've ever had an issue with the way Conan O'Brien interviewed guests on like older shows and stuff, that it was very formulaic or whatever. But his podcast is just fucking great. The Bill Hader episode, and then the latest one that just came out, it's Bob Newhart. Those are the funniest fucking things I've heard. Just the funniest podcasts I've listened to. Both of those are so, so entertaining. But on a level, on a like poignant level, I highly recommend the episode where he interviews Howard Stern. That one was, there was just so much in there that I can, you know, just hearing him talk about his perception, while dealing with his own personal bullshit about, you know, how he used to make fun of like Rosie O'Donnell and then finally like got out of that mindset, interviewed her and connected, and then, you know, started defending her, and, you know, the way the way gay people were being treated and discriminated against, and then he and Rosie became friends. Like, just the perception of how you think of somebody, and then you get to know them, and like, you know, it changes who you are. And it also is kind of an interesting, you know, what you perceive about a person. This kind of came up from that episode because randomly Conan was talking about how he wished that people didn't know that he graduated from Harvard. Because when you hear that, you immediately think of something about him already. Like, you're immediately like, he's from Harvard. When in fact that he didn't belong there, that he really worked hard to get there and then really busted his ass to make it through. And then also that there was a lot of people at Harvard that didn't feel like they fit the mold to be there. But it's just the idea of your perception of somebody, like when you take one aspect of somebody and you immediately, like, you are automatically define who that person is because you know one thing. And I obviously we're all guilty of this to some degree, and I know I am, because it's a lot easier, you know, when somebody annoys the shit out of you, that you're like, well, I don't like that guy at all. Like, I know the one thing about him, and like, that's it. Like, everything else, let me just paint by numbers the rest of their life, because it's easier. And, you know, and there's things about that are there's things about that are fine. Like that like, if you can think of somebody a certain way, and it's fine, because you're not gonna, you don't see them all the time. They're not a friend of yours. It's just a person. It's just easier to go, well, that's a nemesis of mine. I've told people about that. I've had did that on stage about a bit about how I had this this person, this comedian that I thought was a nemesis that I just kind of considered. I was like, just this, oh, that fucking guy. Like, I can't stand him. And that I felt was kind of toxic, the idea. And so I have told, you know, I told him that I wanted to kind of squash the beef, you know, that I'm like, look, you know, this, I just wanted to take care of this feud that we've got and, you know, put it aside that, you know, I feel like I'm in the wrong on this. So I kind of wanted to make sure that, you know, I just wanted to end this and just be cool, because it's just, life's too short to have this kind of bitterness. And, so I just kind of wanted to end the feud. And, and their response was, we're feuding? I thought we were cool. And then it realized, oh, this was all in my head. You didn't know that I disliked you so much until now. Well, I just wanted to let you know that we're cool. Oh, we're cool now? Oh, well, screwed that up. So that was not very successful. But I'm fine on my end now. I'm sure he doesn't hold anything against me whatsoever after revealing that. But anyway, but the thing was, the point is that it's not healthy to limit. I don't know. The people are not one-dimensional characters in a poorly written script. And it's really easy because it's real easy when, especially if that person has beliefs that are not compatible with yours, they're on the other side of the divide, it's real easy to just completely not only not see their point, but just completely just, you know, take the one aspect that you know about them and then fill in the blanks on everything else, stereotypes and everything. Just boom, that's who that person is. They, you know, I'm not going to look at context. I'm not, it's not healthy. And, you know, it's not something that, that we should be doing, but we do it. But it's something to keep in mind that people have depth and that, it's, you know, you don't have to like somebody, but, you know, don't limit them to one aspect of who they are. It's something I know I need to work on. And I thought I'd bring it up. But overall, the whole point is, yeah, the Conan podcast is nice. You should check that out. All right. Then one last thing. Oh, yeah. I had had an article. I saw this a couple days ago. Excuse me, yesterday, from BBC, BBC News, that Johnson & Johnson faces trial over opioid crisis in Oklahoma. Johnson & Johnson, one of the world's largest drug manufacturers, has gone on trial in a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit by the U.S. state of Oklahoma. Prosecutors accuse the firm of deceptively marketing painkillers and downplaying addiction risks, fueling a so-called opioid epidemic. Johnson & Johnson denies wrongdoing and says it marketed products responsibly. So it is the first of 2,000 cases brought by state, local, and tribal governments against pharmaceutical firms in the U.S. So there's 2,000 cases about to happen, which means you're going to see drug manufacturers at some point declare bankruptcy. And then people are going to go, well, what do we do now? I don't know what's going to happen. So, and of course, then the article gives like a really scary statistics, like on average, 130 Americans die from an opioid overdose every day, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Jesus Christ. And then 2017, of the 70,200 people who died from an overdose, 68% involved a prescription or illegal opioid. in the court in its court filing, Oklahoma alleged that Johnson & Johnson was the kingpin behind the worst man-made public health crisis in the state's history, growing and importing raw materials which other drug makers used for their own products. Another thing is the state lawyer for Oklahoma, Brad Beckworth, had said that Johnson & Johnson did so by marketing opioids as safe and effective for everyday pain, but downplayed addiction qualities and thus helped to create a drug oversupply. And then he said this, he said, if you have an oversupply, people will die. Man, nothing gets me against you faster than saying something in a rhyme. It really, you know, turn around, don't drown. Like, that kind of shit just bugs me so much. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Look, you don't have to rhyme it. People are not, it's really patronizing that you think that people are so dumb you have to come up with a saying in a rhyme so that people, and maybe they are. Maybe I'm overestimating masses of people, that you have to give them some kind of marketing slogan. You know, if you oversupply, people will die, kind of a thing. I don't know, but that's what he did. And he goes, and of course, then the Oklahoma's Attorney General, Mike Hunter, that's almost a hilarious name, told the court that it was time to hold the companies responsible for their actions. And I, you know, and I hope that there's something out of it. Also, I hope that Oklahoma does something with the money that they get to allow, you know, to fund programs to allow people, because, yeah, the companies do need to be held responsible. All of them, not just drug companies, just companies in general should. But, you know, capitalism, what are you going to do? But also, let us not forget personal responsibility. Just because conservatives that you don't like bring up personal responsibility doesn't mean they're wrong. It means that they're, I mean, they are wrong in other aspects. But that part is actually, that's the thing, is that I think we kind of missed the point that I don't know very many people that thought when OxyContin came out, that thought that it was safe. Like, my friends, we all knew that it got you high. Like, we knew that. Just the same as we knew that Vicodin was dope. Like, it was just, you know, that if you didn't have back issues, that back pain medicine was like, hell yeah. Like, people know. So the idea, like, I don't know anybody that thought that drugs like that, like, that there wasn't going to be any adverse effects to taking them over and over again. Like, we're missing a little bit of personal responsibility here. We are missing the fact that you've got to own your shit. They got to pay for their actions and their shitty marketing, absolutely, and pushing stuff and you know, and that they need to be vetted. And I think, you know, and that this kind of trials like this are hopefully going to get a little bit of something, because, you know, no matter how many lawsuits, these drug companies are going to have plenty of money. It's just going to be a fraction of what they earn. But if you're dealing with shit, I mean, that's the thing, is that this, you know, we need to have programs available for people who want to get help and have finally taken responsibility for their own self-destruction and want to get better. We need to give them opportunities to do so. But that being said, they've got to want to do so. If you're dealing with something that's fucking you up, you got to own it. You got to, the biggest problem with being a junkie or with being a really bad addict is it's everybody else's fault. You lie to yourself as much as you lie to everybody else, and you got to get to a point where you've hit your bottom, or what you consider to be rock bottom, even though it's not rock bottom, but you hit where you've had enough and is enough, and you've got to get to a place where somebody confronts you with your own bullshit, and the realization's got to hit you that, oh, I am full of shit and I'm lying to myself and it's time to own this. And then from there, you can start working on yourself and getting help. But we gotta, you know, lawsuits are not going to fix this shit. You know, drugs have always been around, and there'll always be new ones. So you got to figure out what led you to that as well. So you can't rely on lawsuits to fix you. I think that's kind of an obvious thing, but something I kind of wanted to mention is like that it's not, you know, you don't just die because oversupply. You also die because you don't try. I don't know. Fuck. It's rhyme time, kids. Let me bring my point across in verse. We're not going to do that. Anyway, all right. I think that's it. That's what we're going to do this week. I appreciate you guys sticking around with me this week. We'll see you same time next Wednesday. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. Hang in there, guys. Later.